So I'm in the middle of the Oregon winter here, which means rain all the time. And you set up this meeting, company meeting in Dallas. And I'm thinking, great, I'll get some sun, go to Dallas, get some sunshine, get out of the rain for a little bit. We get there, it's like raining and 25 degrees Fahrenheit. I thought you had connections down there.
You know, it wasn't me who chose Dallas. I would have stayed right here at home, and that's what we're going to do next time.
Oh, in Denver. But it's snowing there, right? How much snow is on the ground right now?
It's all going.
All right, Brian, this episode is titled Five Traffic Strategies That Build Your Curation Audience. And, of course, that means paid advertising, right?
Not yet. Now, we are going to get into that topic, which is a new one for us. And you can bet I'm going to be having some smarter-than-me guests on for those shows because I literally want free consulting. Isn't that a great gig about having a podcast? I'm going to ring up some really smart people and say, hey, want to come on the show?
I'm starting to think that might be the only reason to have a podcast.
It may be.
All right, no, you've got a great list of five things here, a couple of which people will be familiar with, but there's a reason we keep beating these drums, because this is what you got to do, right? Starting with something that everybody listening to this and in any way familiar with what we do is going to be familiar with, which is content.
Number one is content. We're going to talk about it again, but very specifically in the context of curation, because the general rule of thumb that you would think is that the original content providers that you're curating get more benefit from sharing and linking than you do, right? And that's why I've been trying to lead by example and also steer people away from the link post like we used to do in the old days of blogging, just a collection of links, maybe just the meta description from the publisher themselves, no original content. The problem with that is it's not shareable and it's not linkable. And here's what I mean by that. Number one, of course, shareable. Last week we talked about the good old-fashioned early days of the social share button, which was the email forward. And I even made a joke about that in this week's issue of Further, because that was truly awful when some people forwarded every stupid email joke they got five times a day. So that's not going to happen. But it is conceivable that when you put out a good publication by email, you're going to get the benefit of forwards. You know, when you subscribe to something cool and it's perfect for someone else, it's just easy to hit forward and send it along. You and I do that, right? But that's about it. You aren't going to get the tweets. You aren't going to get the Facebook shares. You've got to create curation that is content. So on one end, Jason Hirschhorn, who does Media Redef, it's just links. And I share that content all the time. Not his. I share the articles themselves. And Jason's not getting the benefit of that. On the other end of the spectrum, Brain Pickings. Maria, what's her last name?
Popova.
Yeah, she's a genius. But that's all curation. I mean, she quotes liberally. I mean, I think she pushes the bounds of fair use, but in a good way. But she constructs new and original content, even though she still is either reviewing a book and quoting from it or some other piece of work. So she is the curator's curator, and that site gets linked to and shared across the board. So somewhere in the middle of that is Further. And that's why I took the format that I did with a feature, which oftentimes might be, as in this week, it's really talking about one chapter in a book, right? So it's not freely available on the web, but it's still curation. And that kind of stands alone as something that is getting shared as we speak. The other thing I want to talk about with your content is, even more so, no one's going to link to a list of links. But if you do have that content standalone feel, then you might attract links, which is a good thing. But more importantly, as we talk about in the next section, you can link to yourself.
Okay, so if anybody has any confusion about this, simply you can go over to further.net and see what Brian's talking about in terms of how he's doing it, because it is a different kind of curation play than what you're probably normally familiar with in creating a piece of content that is shareable, yes. Okay, let's move on to number two, and that is good old-fashioned guest posting.
Absolutely. Now, everything from Zen Habits by Leo, to some of our marketing friends, entire businesses have been built with their own content and then going on a mad blitz of creating content in other channels and pointing people back to your home base. Now, that actually works really well with a curation project because you're not going to contribute content to someone if they don't allow you to have a bio with a link back to your site and a compelling description. And this is where last week we talked about creating a really high value ethical bribe. This is where it comes in handy. That's a call to action and you want it to be as compelling as possible. So at a bare minimum, if you're going to be out guest posting, that's what you're looking for in return. I say link to yourself. Now, the bio is great. The link is great. The call to action is great. But if you can link to yourself editorially and have it be valid, because think about it, you're writing articles on the same topic that you curate, right? In fact, some of the features that I've done for Further with just a tiny bit of elaboration could be standalone articles on someone else's site. And what I'm talking about when you can link to yourself in the body of the content, if you have a relevant feature, even if it's curated, say it is a book review to a certain degree, but if you look at what I did in this week's issue of Further, it's not necessarily a book review. It's actually sharing a small part of what I learned from the book, right? So it kind of is a standalone educational piece of content. So if I'm off writing, say, Mind Body Green or some other website where I'm trying to attract that target audience, I can link back to myself. And if they're cool with it editorially, because it is a standalone piece of content, that's a very valuable way to guest post. So not everyone is going to agree, and you need to make sure that you only do that with your best stuff. But it is a benefit, going back to why content is a traffic strategy, because you need people linking to you, but you also need to be able to point back to that content on your guest posting spree, because you'll build traffic a lot faster that way.
Yeah, a couple of just quick finer points on guest posting. I'm going to link a few articles that we've written. We've gone on and on and on about this into the show notes for this episode. But, you know, things like, obviously, you want to target sites and media properties that are related to your topical market, things that are going to make sense.
Whose audience do you want to borrow?
Yeah.
Because that's what guest posting is.
Yep. Patience is a thing here. I just had a conversation with Stephanie Flaxman, our editor-in-chief over at copyblogger.com, and she told me, I had completely forgotten this, but she told me that she had her editing business going on, still going, and I don't remember the timeline, but let's just say it was she sent in a guest post submission. This was several years ago, and was not accepted. Probably 2.5 years later, you know, here she is employed by Copyblogger. In your example here, you're not talking necessarily about employment, but the idea being patience, the idea being keep doing your best work, keep submitting, and over time you build that relationship. You've talked about this a lot, the early days of Copyblogger, how you were, nobody knew you, you were a nobody in this field, and you built relationships over time slowly through writing for other sites, bigger and bigger sites. And that's one of the main benefits, I think, of guest posting is the relationships you build with those other publishers.
Absolutely. And those relationships feed every other strategy. When people know you, they're more likely to share, they're more likely to link, they're more likely to agree to come on, you know, your show as a guest. You get access to people, and that's immeasurably valuable.
Let's move on to number three. And this is something that we have done quite a bit of, but we haven't really talked about it a lot. And that is image marketing. What do you mean by this?
Well, so we've talked about in the past shows how because of you complaining about my stock photos, I stumbled onto a combination of image and quote and a certain black and white feel that it's amazing. I mean, the same piece of content gets shared four or five times more with the different image.
That's still so happening. You're still seeing those results.
You know, and it really just depends on the topic. You know, my John Lydon image of this week is not being shared as much as the Albert Einstein from last week, but I don't care because I wanted to do the Lydon image and I'm having a great time with it. But it's still doing better than with some no image or a, you know, kind of lame stock photo, which, yeah. So this kind of opens up a whole bunch of possibilities where your images that you're creating for your post can be, you know, they're getting pinned on Pinterest. You can share them on Instagram, all sorts of stuff I've never really done before. So I will be sharing with the audience in future episodes how this is going. But one thing that I've been thinking about all along is that infographics are curation. You know, infographics are curation. They are a collection of reference sources. You ever look at the bottom of an infographic, you'll see all the links to the sources of the material. Now, as you're curating over time, you're going to start coming up with thematic bundles of content that will lend themselves to piecing them together in a visual form. So you'll definitely see me experimenting with putting infographics together. I've got a few ideas, but if you hit the right infographic, it spreads like crazy. You get links back every time it's put on another site if you embed the code like you do at the bottom. And it's amazing. It's an amazing traffic strategy. It is more cost intensive. So I don't expect anyone, including me, to just jump in and create an infographic. But like I said, doing the job provides you the material. You know what stuff is resonating with people, and then you put something together that takes off. So I'm going to experiment on my dime for you guys to see what happens. And so we'll talk about it more in the future.
Rainmaker FM is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. If you're looking to easily build a powerful sales and marketing website that drives your online business, head over to rainmakerplatform.com right now and sign up for a free 14-day trial to see if it might be a fit for you. Rainmaker handles all the technical elements of good online business practices for you: design, content, traffic, and conversion, and she does it all under one roof. Get over to rainmakerplatform.com now and get back to building your online business in 2015. Quick note here, Brian. We saw some cool stuff in Dallas, the company meeting coming out in Rainmaker. Any thoughts in particular on what you saw, little previews, or in conversation?
Well, what I saw is amazing, and of course I would expect nothing else, but some of the ideas that go beyond what's coming in the next 2 months, holy cow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what's really got me excited. But we'll talk about that in the future.
Yeah, one of those things, a couple of those things that we saw related to item number four here in your list of five traffic strategies that to build your curation audience, and that is iTunes. We've been talking some weird stuff about iTunes. Not weird generally, but weird maybe in the context of Copyblogger, things that we've never talked about before.
Yeah, iTunes is amazing. Podcasting has more than arrived. 2014 was the big breakthrough year where it all kind of came together. Great content, ease of subscription, familiarity with the medium, Bluetooth being brain dead easy in your car, all that kind of stuff. People are listening to podcasts like crazy because it is mobile entertainment. It's on demand education. It's a lot of cool stuff. So to ignore it as a curator, I think, is a mistake. Now, we talked about this in the past, that the podcast interview is another example of curation. You are asking questions of someone else's expertise in order to inform and educate your audience. So there's that. And you can, of course, use 3, 5, 7 of those type interviews to create that ethical bribe course, put it in Rainmaker, drip it out into an access strategy. And so when you are going out with guest posting and you are pointing back to your site and you're trying to maximize opt-ins, you've got a very compelling free offer in addition to the regular curation that you're going to be doing week to week. But get this, this occurred to me later. And it's funny because I didn't think about it from the beginning, but the way I'm doing these features, how long do you think that would be for me to recite that in audio format? Maybe 2 or 3 minutes each?
Yeah, somewhere it's around there. Yep.
It's a perfect bite-sized podcast.
Yep.
And so then you're saying, well, how do you drive people back to your site? Well, all the links are on the site. So you basically say, if you want the link, the show notes related to this podcast, go to further.net/current, because each week would coincide with the current issue. And then, of course, you've got plus, you'll get links to over a dozen other amazing stories about health, wealth, and wisdom, right? So you're doing your own Paul Harvey. There is true added benefit to go back to the site. Once they're there, hopefully they say, hell, I don't want to take a chance of missing this again, and they hop on the email list. So audio is, I think it's unconventional, you know, to pair an email newsletter with a podcast, but wait a minute, didn't that what we exactly did with this very show at the beginning? Yep. We built an email list. And we're more concerned with that than we were necessarily iTunes subscriptions, but both grew in tandem.
So I can send you my rate card for voiceover services?
Well, we can discuss something to that effect related to your continued compensation.
Continued. You heard it here. Okay, number 5 in this list. This goes back a ways, too. We're going old school on this, but things like this, you know, they work and they work and they work. And that is developing, writing a free report, but putting it out there with a twist.
Yeah. So this goes back to the catalyst that broke Copyblogger open. Remember, there was 3 months of crickets and deafening silence until I found the thing that broke out, and it was a free report. It was called Viral Copy, and it indeed did go viral because there was no opt-in. It was launched freely into the world, and it pointed people back to Copyblogger. Now you're saying, well, wait a minute. Why would I do that? Why isn't that the ethical bribe? Because it could be your ethical bribe, but you're still stuck with no traffic. Put something out there that spreads, and then you've got to use your best content and copywriting skills. It's effectively a sales letter for your site, right? So for further, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out. I've got a rough idea, like some sort of manifesto or something that gets people really fired up, drives them back to the site. They check it out. They're like, yes, this is something that I think will add value to my life. Back, you know, with Viral Copy in 2006, they spread it around. You know, a lot of existing bloggers didn't like what I had to say. A lot of them did. Either way, they talked about it, they linked, and that was really the thing that blew Copyblogger up. And from there, it just kept going because that was when I hit what we call the minimum viable audience. I had enough people who were following, and they continued to spread the word. Because with Viral Copy, I was talking about all these. It was basically the premise of Copyblogger. You apply copywriting techniques to content, not to sell something, but to attract and engage a bigger audience. And I demonstrated all the stuff in the report. It was effectively a sales letter for Copyblogger because the call to action was, hey, this is what this site is about. I'm going to teach you how to do all of this stuff week in and week out for free. So it's got to be something similar to that. Now, further is much more, it's personal development. It's much more inspirational, aspirational, if you will. So I need something that gets people fired up. Like someone like Chris Guillebeau. I should just ask Guillebeau. He'll know. He'll know what to do. I'll have him on the show and ask him so I get free consulting again.
All right, Brian, anything else on these five items before we say farewell for this episode?
Well, I have had some people go, oh, I wish you would talk about this for more than three episodes. Don't worry. These three episodes are the fundamentals. They're the things I know will more or less work and that I'm actually going to do. But as we progress through the year and I figure out new things, I figure out where I'm wrong, I figure out what surprised me, I will return to the topic. And we will have some interviews so we can talk about things like building an email list with Facebook advertising. You do not want to spend your money until you've got it down cold. And there's a lot of nuances to it, but it is doable. And we're going to share that with you. Next week, I'm actually going to talk with Joanna Weeb about doing split testing. You've already heard us talk about it a couple times, tested a headline already and chose one. Plan to do more of that. But we need to know what we're doing. So I'm going to have her on the show, and she's going to share a lot of good information with not only you guys, but me. There you go.
Thanks for listening to Rainmaker FM. If you like what you're hearing here, please let us know by heading over to iTunes and dropping a rating or a comment over there. And if you found this broadcast somewhere else out there on the internet, go ahead and sign up to get free email updates for future episodes, as well as our free 10-part online marketing course at rainmaker.fm. You see a big green button under the headline there. Just click it and join over 27,000 other people who've changed the way they think about online marketing. That's rainmaker.fm. Brian, we'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir.